I'm Terry Molinaro, and I believe that we as the body of Christ are here for such a time as this. I love to say this, blessed to be a blessing, that we are called to be a light. And look, friends, if we don't do it, if we aren't the light, who's going to be the light? The body of Christ has always been a house of action. And hey, who says we can't have some fun along the way?
Terry, it's Ryan Seacrest. You're in broadcast. I'm trying to be in broadcast. There's something in common. Good luck to you, Seacrest House.
This is the Church Acts Podcast. Hey friends, welcome back to the Church Acts Podcast. It's been a minute for sure, and I don't know what's been going on in your life, in your world, where you live, but before we jump into everything today, know that as the body of Christ, we are not fragmented. We are united. So can I encourage you, remember to lift one another up in prayer. It's so easy sometimes to just simply look to our own circumstances or the things that are going on in our own lives and get so consumed by them that we forget about not just the calling on our lives, but the people around us that honestly need prayer. I think even about everything that's happening around the Middle East, you know, things that are happening in governments all around the world. See, God knows what's happening and is ready to send help, but the prayers of the saints need to rise up. You know, the gates of hell cannot stand against the United Church. The gates of hell cannot stand against a united church. When we come together and we stop arguing over like the stupidest things, you know, when we wake up and really notice what's going on and then stand against it, this world will change. When it's not like, oh yeah, look at those wild Pentecostals or oh, look at those boring or whatever the stereotype is. When we start to stand together, things will change because we have to remember, friends, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against, you know, each other. It's against spiritual forces of evil. Even this past week, even up until a few days ago, there was someone who had all these accusations against me, all this evil flowing through and around them. See, I had to not allow my emotions to get involved over my spiritual discernment. I had to see it for what it was and then take the fight to what really mattered. If we don't do that, church, we're going to just end up in wars with our families, wars with our friends. Maybe it's an employee-employer thing, those around us, all while the real war wages on and goes unchecked. And a world where the church does not stand up against evil, that's not one that we want to live in. So today, with that being said, I want to talk about something that will help you in this war. Maybe you're retired. Maybe you've been retired from spiritual conflict for years and years and years. Maybe you think, hey, you know what? What are those things that people say? Like, if I don't confront the devil, then the devil's going to leave me alone. You know, maybe you say people abuse terms like spiritual warfare, so I don't want to be a part of it. Maybe people try to manipulate you by telling you things that were not from the heart of God. Well, today, I want to start to stir the fight up in you once again, a fight for your family, a fight for what matters, a fight against those spiritual forces of evil. How are we going to do this? Through one word, and that's what I want to talk about today, through boldness. Through boldness. We're not playing around today. We're going right in. Now, boldness gets a bad rap these days because it's often confused with arrogance. But the truth is, correct spiritual boldness and arrogance cannot be further apart. They are actually opposites. There was a time once where I was facing stress from many different angles. I was facing it a little bit from work. I was facing pressure from relationships in my life. All these things were coming at me to the point where people in my life, they'd come up to me in this time of my life. They're like, Terry, like, are you okay? Like, I know what's going on. I remember one time a situation broke out. And to be honest, I can't even remember what had happened, but something I had to deal with and confront. By the way, we'll get to confrontation in a few moments. Anyway, so I remember it was my mother. She goes to me. She's like, man, like I'm worried about you. Like, and I looked right at her and I said, do not worry about me. 10 out of 10 times I will overcome. Now, I didn't give that statement any real thought. It just kind of flowed out from me. And my mom stops and goes, whoa, like you think that you'd say something like maybe 8 or 7 out of 10 times or, you know, I know eventually I'm going to overcome, but I like that confidence that you have. 10 out of 10 times you'll overcome. And I told her, look, it's not about me. It's not about my ability. My confidence is not misplaced in my own ability because I am very bold in the Holy Spirit and God's ability to move through me and in the situations that I face. And do you see how there's a difference from that, like between that and arrogance. See, arrogance talks about our own ability, you know, my own efforts. That's why sometimes you have Christians not having breakthroughs because they try and solve situations that are a spiritual matter with their own natural abilities. Some people try to use their intellect even, you know, I'm going to try to solve this with my mind and just through thinking. Others try and solve things by simply throwing money at it. But listen, in the Bible, it talks about us not waging war according to the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10, it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." See, if we try and wage a spiritual war with physical or even with our own fleshly ways, it's like trying to swim with lead shoes on, right? It's not going to work. They are opposing forces. But when we wage war according to the spirit, then the spiritual forces are dealt with that ultimately affect the physical that we can see with our eyes. See, arrogance and boldness. Arrogance deals with your ability that you see within yourself, or to be honest, that you sometimes think that you see, right? Because there's also false arrogance and boldness. Even take Peter, for example, in the Bible, right? "I will never deny you. If I have to die this day..." But see, when push came to shove, he didn't really have that within himself until later on in life when he learned his lessons. But spiritual boldness is when you see the situation and don't compare it to your ability to overcome it, but to God's ability through you. Now, I know you've heard this story many, many times over, but I know how it stirs me, and I hope it'll do the same to you today. Let's talk about David. King David was a man of great boldness. Here's a secret though. David was always, if you look throughout the Bible and you read the story and the account of his life, he was always inquiring of the Lord. So when the Lord said, "All right, step out." See, it didn't matter if he was a certain way or lacked certain abilities. He then knew that God would give him the victory regardless because it was God who would go before him. Check this out. I wish I had time to read the entire story, but picking it up halfway through, we read. And keep in mind, this is before David really had any accolades behind him. Like, he had a few different things that he accomplished when he was a shepherd, but this is before he really, you know, led the army and had the authority of the kingship, but he did have a word from God. And this is the account of David and Goliath and their encounter, more like the conversation between them. So in verse 41 of this story, we hear, "Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy faced boy. 'Am I a dog?' he roared at David, 'that you come at me with a stick?' And he cursed David by the names of his gods. 'Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals,' Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, and check this out, 'You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you, and I will cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear.'" In other words, not by their own abilities. "This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. Honestly, I don't even know why, but that story, it almost sometimes brings me to the point of being emotional, because there's something in my heart that tells me this is what always was meant for us as the church. Not to kill people, that's not what I'm saying, not to manipulate people in the name of God, but when something comes up that is contrary to the truth of the word of God, when there are things that would try and use people to tear us down, we wouldn't fight back with our words or with gossip, just talking to people all over the place and end up partnering with the very spirits that are trying to come against us in the first place, but that we would look with clear eyes of discernment and say, "You would come to me with this and that, but I come against you in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, the name that is above all names." The Bible says it is the truth, friends, that will set you free. Where are the Christians that would choose to stand up for the truth? Not in a rebellious way, because I think that even in today's day and age, and it's really been for a very long time, there's this sense of, oh, I'm just going to rebel. I'm going to rebel. No, rebellion is as witchcraft, the Bible would say, right? It's not in a rebellious way, but in love. Love and boldness with no compromise. Can I tell you, I've seen in my own life time and time again where the confrontation was right there in front of me, when fear was trying to come over me, when I took authority over fear and mentally made up my mind to step forward in boldness for what was right. Just like the Bible says, I was given the words to speak and I could feel time and time again the atmosphere change. And check this out, this is interesting too. When these times would happen, it was not me screaming at people. It wasn't me bowing down to them and compromising. It was very calm and in love, but with firmness and with boldness. See, this is a podcast for another time, but there is something that happens when you break out from underneath fear and speak the truth in boldness. Truth causes things to change and happen. I've been in situations where there was nothing but confusion, but then all of a sudden when authority was taken, God would give me the wisdom. And when he did it, it was like a light shone and suddenly there'd be traction in the situation. I've stood against people who were involved in witchcraft, right? And when the truth of God was spoken, I've literally watched them go from people who were all, oh, boastful and proud to suddenly they started backing down. And I kid you not, in their faces, like maybe this is going to be kind of hard to communicate over a podcast, but in their face, just by standing in truth, it's almost like you could see the frailty of them. Like they put on this great show and like boastful and like, yeah, like you know, and all the stuff they try to do, try to make a show. But then when you actually started confronting them in the truth and in the authority of God, I could see the strength just was a complete facade. And I saw weakness in them. I perceived that in them because the truth was spoken in love, not in fear, in boldness. I'll tell you, there was this one time actually where this person was coming against me and my family and the plans that God had placed over my life. And instead of bowing down and letting it happen, I took authority in the spirit and then walked forward to confront them in the natural, because I want you to not miss that as well. I walked forward to confront it in the natural, but I took authority in the spirit, right? And as soon as I took my place of authority and confronted them, the truth kept coming against the lies. And check this out, the person, and you're going to find this when it comes to spiritual warfare sometimes, this person starts throwing up everywhere, just throwing up. That was a physical manifestation of a spiritual situation that was taking place. See, my friends, you have boldness inside of you. I don't care how weak you think you are, because as a Christian, you are a child of God. You literally have the Holy Spirit, who in the Bible is called the Spirit of power, living on the inside of you. The Bible says that you were not given a spirit of fear, but one of power, one of love, and of a sound mind. So stand up in boldness for what is right, for good. Please stand up in boldness for what is right. Do not give the enemy room. Do not go to your friends to gossip when something is not going right, or when someone treats you badly, rather. Go to God and get the wisdom you need and then deal with it. Stop talking about it and start standing in the God-given authority you were always called to walk in. When the body of Christ starts to do this, when we start to stand in that authority that has been given to us all along, listen, the gates of hell will not be able to stand against you, against your family, against the body of Christ. Listen, you are not a victim. I pray that just like I spoke out in faith when my mom was worried about me all that time ago, that you would say, listen, I have this situation that is coming against me. I have no idea. And my ability, it looks like it's going to take me out, but I will overcome 10 out of 10 times. It's not about me. It's about who I bend my knee to. The name that is above every single name, Jesus Christ, he will make a way. The Bible says those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust in him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, or the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation.